Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Frank today talking about another one of Dr. W. Edwards Deming's 14 points for quality, which, as we tell people, is the science of how smart people burn down good businesses. And today we're talking about inspection. Specifically, Deming said to cease depending on inspection, which means that you throw away the results of bad performance instead of proactively trying to prevent problems, understand them, and prevent those mistakes before they happen. And he was talking about how a factory would have an entire inspection department that just threw away anything that was bad without trying to figure out why it happened in the first place. And a lot of people think that way. They devote entire departments to inspecting phones, clothing, machines for defects, and they expect they're going to have to throw some away because some seams are crooked or the phone's button sticks, but they never ask, why is the seam crooked? Why did the button stick? And this is even more important when people have that attitude about their employees, about the people in their organization, where they inspect out the mistakes and the failures instead of proactively preventing them. Frank, you said that you had a really good story about this from your Navy days.
Very early when I was a junior officer, I was given an audio tape to listen to. It was called The Care and Feeding of Recruits, told by a senior Navy captain who described his experience with a new recruit assigned to his ship. The recruit had arrived on a Friday evening after everyone who could had gone on shore leave. So all you have is a skeleton watch, and he arrives. What they do is they go down and they stick him in a berth, which basically is a bunk, and he's told, okay, stay there. Well, he stays there through Friday night, through Saturday, because no one comes to get him, until finally on Sunday morning, he meets the one person who's aboard the ship because they couldn't get off. And that's the screw-up. Not given shore leave or whatnot.
So everyone else there was busy working. This is the one guy who's wandering around with nothing to do.
That's right, because he's not trusted to do anything.
Right.
The screw-up proceeds to take care of the recruit. Well, Monday morning, the recruit finally is found and taken to the captain for the welcome aboard. You'll work hard and you'll do a good speech. And the captain ends by saying, hey, you know, we'll talk again in a couple of weeks. Well, the captain then goes on to say that about 18 months later, he sees the recruit again, this time for an interview, but it's for the recruit being dismissed from the service. As the interview is drawing to a close, the recruit stops the captain and says, sir, can we have that talk you promised? And the recruit then proceeded to describe what it had been like to come aboard ship, being enthusiastic, wanting to do a good job, and then basically just being ignored. What the captain came away with is that he couldn't save this recruit's career in the Navy. It was too far gone for that. But he made a vow to himself that he would never allow that to happen again to anyone under his command.
And that recruit's experience is repeated daily in a lot of organizations. They hire someone and they expect that they will immediately be productive and slide right into the company without more than filling out some paperwork, being trained for a day or two by some already overworked employees, and then they're left to their own devices. They may get advice during staff meetings or motivational emails and voicemails. They might get sent to training, but they don't get hands-on support and practical training they need at the beginning to do real work. Like that recruit, the only person who was available to help him was the screw-up, who indoctrinated him in the wrong way to do things. And when you're confused, stressed, that's what's going to take over. You're going to go to anyone who will help you.
And an example that I have, personal experience in that, was when I retired from the Navy, I went to work for a company that did contract work for the Air Force. And I get assigned the first day that I'm there to work for an office of the Air Force. And I walk in and I discover they use Microsoft Office. Now, Microsoft Office is almost universal these days. But back in those days, I'd come out of the Navy where we used WordPerfect and Lotus 1-2-3. And if you're saying what? Well, yes, that does date me. They were software programs. And the only question people had asked me before I was hired was, oh, you're pretty good. You have a lot of experience with computers, so you must be pretty good with those. And the answer was, well, yes, I am pretty good with computers and software. But I didn't have experience with Microsoft Office. Word and Excel were completely strange to me. Now, I was able to fuddle my way through the first week because no one really expected a lot from me. What I did is I went and found some audio tapes, or video tapes rather, training on Microsoft Office, both Word and Excel. I took those home over the weekend, spent the weekend watching the videos. And so when I went back to work on Monday, I had an idea of how to use Word and Excel for at least the preliminary things that I had to do.
But you weren't nearly as productive as you could have been if you'd actually had the tools ready at the beginning, or if someone had known before they sent you in.
Yes, I could have trained beforehand. Also, it took me a while to really get up to speed on Microsoft Word and Excel.
And that's when you're trying to make your first impression. When people are worried that their bosses are going to think they're incompetent, they're trying to do a good job, you're also putting them at a disadvantage where they're going to look incompetent. And it's not their fault, because no one told you that you were going to have to use Microsoft Office before you walked in. This is a case where if someone had made a mistake, it would have been their supervisor's fault, not theirs. And that's what we're really talking about. It's about relieving stress and helping people feel productive by allowing them to do real work. Stephen Covey called this sharpening the saw. Taking time to sharpen the saw before you start sawing the trees help you cut down more trees faster than just getting to work immediately. And that new intern, coworker, or recruit is your saw. You have to take the time to sharpen them now, or you're going to be cursing the foul ups later. Will you wait until your sales team is underperforming before you do anything? Or will you be proactive about teaching them the best way to sell the products? Are you going to wait until your Facebook page is overwhelmed by customer service complaints before you decide how you're going to respond to them? Are you going to wait until you discover the bookkeeping hasn't been done properly in months before you read the books? Or are you going to invest time and energy and careful thought into training each individual who joins your team? You've got to work closely with them and earn their trust until they know they can come to you for help and feedback when they want to do their work well. And this doesn't have to be hard. It can be as simple as just taking someone out for coffee and saying, hey, how's it going? Getting to know them, talking to them on a personal basis. If you want them to be productive, you've got to invest in them.
That's right. I'm reminded of another naval story. Nimitz, back when he was the captain. You know, Nimitz became the fleet admiral in charge of the Pacific War.
During World War II.
During World War II, that's right. But before World War II, he was the captain of a battleship. And it was the worst battleship in the Pacific Fleet. But when he took over, what he did, first of all, is he taught the ensigns how to drive the ship. After he got all the ensigns to learn how to drive the ship, they started working on teaching the lieutenants how to run their departments.
So he started with the lowest ranking officers and made sure they knew how to do their jobs.
Yes, the simplest ones,
The simplest jobs. And then he moved up to the next rung on the ladder.
That's right.
And made sure they knew how to do their jobs.
And he just kept working up the ladder until finally he got to the point where all he had to do is decide where to go and the ship would go there.
But it took some time.
Oh, yes, it always takes time.
But he couldn't have fixed it by just sending someone else to fix the problem.
No.
Those lower level lieutenants couldn't have taught the ensigns how to drive the ship the right way.
Because they didn't know.
He had to get involved.
Yes.
And you have to accept that you probably will too if you want things to work. Hi everyone, it's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 space solutions, and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2014 by Hutchison Solutions, LLC. All rights reserved. But now, seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you if you just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.